when you watch a trailer, everything you see is, you know, the director, who's directing it, who's writing it, the actors on screen. So we talk about it, kind of what you hear the music about. So
but had anybody seen the trailer for Late Night before? You have.
Okay, yeah. One person, okay. Which makes one. Sense. Mm-hmm.
It fits.
And then for Detective Pikachu, by a round of applause, can we just, who has seen it before today? All right. Which also very fits. On-brand.
But yeah, so we usually start with our behind the trailer facts. So we talk about like the director, writer, composer, and the cast. So we're going to chat about Late Night first and then move right into Pokemon.
Yeah, so what you are listening to, what you are seeing, because for the listening audience, they cannot see, obviously. This is Too Many Trailers, the podcast where we talk about two trailers, a podcast episode. So thanks for coming. Yay.
Hooray.
Woo, tepid hooray. Applause. I love it. Got it in.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're,
Kelsey,
yes.
Do you want to jump right into the behind the trailer?
I would love to jump right in. To Late Night.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Just making sure. So Late Night, this movie is coming out on June 7th. Very soon-ish, 4 months.
Okay.
So we're going to go through the behind the trailer facts. So
the director for Late Night is Nisha Ganatra. She hasn't done a lot of movies, but she's done some popular TV stuff. She's done like a few episodes of pretty much everything.
I was about to say, like,
she's
pretty
done
much,
like
pretty
The Mindy things. Project, Fresh Off the Boat, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Dear White People, Mr. Robot, a whole slew of stuff.
Okay.
But she did a lot with The Mindy Project. She directed almost the whole thing, I think, with Mindy Kaling.
Mm-hmm.
Moving right into our...
our writer. So our writer is Mindy Kaling.
Hooray.
So cool. So great. We got two thumbs up, you know. Great. So, the composer.
Oh, yeah, but Mindy Kaling has done a lot for people that might not know, like, The Mindy Project, The Office. So this is her first time writing a full film, though.
Correct. Yes.
But it'll be interesting to chat more about how close this film is to her experience writing for The Office.
That's what I was kind of getting about it. I was like,
and if you read her books...
like, why not me?
That you could get from this very library.
Oh, from the Norwalk Public Library. With a library card.
Which you can receive downstairs.
We're trying to get, you know, get back in here again, so, all right.
We're plugging the library.
We're trying to plug the library.
Anyway, so yeah.
Yeah, so the cast as...
can we do the composer first?
Yeah, so the composer.
The composer is Leslie Barber, so I'm really excited about the amount of female crew in this film. But she did the...
Yay!
Yay, female crews! Anyway, so she's done the music for not a whole lot of films, but she did Mansfield Park, the Jane Austen film. But this is why you're here. And she also did Manchester by the Sea, which
we don't
like,
talk about.
But it's the only film I thought other people would know in her list. So, Kelsey's going to go into the cast now.
Great. So, before we go forward, I have issues with pronouncing people's names, so I am so sorry to the cast.
And she's saying this before we even talk about Detective Pikachu, which is
God.
Where it's going to get real interesting.
I'm not excited for that, but anyway.
I am.
So, we have John Lithgow, Emma Thompson, Megalyn Echikunwoke, Mindy Kaling, Amy Ryan, Ike Barinholtz, Hugh Dancy, Paul Walter Hauser, Max Casella, Reed Scott, Faith Logan, Dennis O'Hare, John Early, Diane Den, and Billy Peck. So those are like the main core of the people that are not like credited as audience number one. So.
Pretty great.
Thanks.
My favorite thing about when Kelsey talks about the cast is that she makes really big gestures with her hands like she knows who they are.
Yeah, they're like my best friends.
Well, my favorite is when I'm like, am I supposed to know who that is?
Well,
am I supposed to know who that is? Because Kelsey usually...
Hugh Dancy, you should know. Ike Barinholtz, you probably know. John Early. These are people who probably don't know. Hugh Dancy, though, has been in like more than a few things. I didn't write it down, though.
Okay.
So we're gonna...
I know Megalyn
Oh, okay. So this is part of our, we have a little segment on our show called The Rainbow Connection. Miriam, would you like to?
Sure. She's in one episode of Buffy where she plays the semi-gay.
Okay.
But I have
you mean not bisexual?
No.
Okay.
No. Okay, look, she's in a scene where a lot of other characters are gay, and that's the only reason I remember what her face looks
like. That's a reach, but okay.
That's just it.
Okay.
My better connection is for Detective Pikachu. Don't worry.
All right.
Okay.
Let's go into the trailer talk, finally.
Okay. All right. What did you think about the very opening of the trailer?
Okay,
so I know your feelings on the whole trailer.
Right.
But the very beginning, Kelsey.
So the very beginning, I feel like there should have been one scene before. Or, like, one scene, like, chopped up into different pieces beforehand. Like a montage, almost. Okay. That's literally what a montage is. There should have been a montage before.
Usually we're very against montages, so I'm interested in this.
I feel like because of the fact that, so Mindy Kaling is like this girl in the city, she's ready to rock, she's ready to do her work at late night television, and she gets hit by a piece of thing of trash.
Do you not like it because it's too stereotypically New York?
No, actually.
Or stereotypically what they use to portray New York City?
No. Shockingly, no. Because
that's usually what
it is. That's usually what it is, but it's not because it's like, there's a yellow cab. No, there is. It's because of the fact that you're not seeing her struggle to get her success. So yeah, and I understand. I know the conversation we're probably going to have later, so...
But do we need to see her struggle to get her success?
Because there's no conflict in this trailer, though.
So we're talking about the first... I just mean the very...
I know. I have issues with this thing.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, so we need to see her kind of... Well, because of the fact that... Okay, so we need to see her getting, like, rejected from, like, other
television
shows. Yeah, that's what I want. And then getting hit by, like, the trash...
Because you wanted to keep that scene?
I want to keep that scene, and who hasn't been hit by a trash bag in New York City?
Probably, if you live there, it's probably
like a huge issue in the ER, being like, oh, I got an arm break. You never know. You don't work there.
You're right.
But, so I want to see her get rejected a few times, and then get hired from the Sandra Bullock-esque Emma
Sandra Bullock slash... Meryl Streep role
of Emma Thompson.
Yes.
That's what I like would have preferred, and I feel like it would have made like a little at least more coherent as a trailer to like understand.
A little bit more cohesive.
Right. That's the better word.
But we're doing great.
We're doing fine.
Okay. I thought it was an okay opening.
Great.
anyway, but I did like that it's kind of like as soon as you see Emma Thompson start talking, you're like, okay, this is literally The Devil Wears Prada. Okay,
right. This
great.
Is,
got it.
This
I know exactly what we're
this
talking
is
about.
The, this is the proposal. Here you go. This is, like you just said, The Devil Wears Prada. You're having this like HBIC white woman role, you know, and that's all her character is, kind of. And she's like, oh, she has a heart of gold. Oh my God.
But she doesn't.
But she does
right,
in the
beginning.
End. Or the beginning. I mean, that's like
so
obvious.
That's like, whole that's issue with this film, obvious, which like, I think is yours too.
It's obvious character like development in the trailer that we're seeing the whole friggin' movie in the trailer.
I know.
So.
I had a feeling that's why you wouldn't like it.
I know.
But did you like the scene in the writer's room with the trash? Where she's like, I'm going to sit on this trash can then.
That's
because
your,
if you don't have a chair
that's
for
very much your type of like. Comedy, which that you enjoy.
Well, I think it was also like, wow, that's pretty damn realistic.
That's true. Everyone's like, I'm not going to give you a seat.
All the white guys are like, hi, I'm going to sit right here, and you're going to sit on the side, maybe, or just not in this room.
It
How about
gave
that?
Me like flashbacks to the what men want trailer.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. I mean, obvious because it's kind of the same issues that we're dealing
with. Right,
but,
right. But that is very much similar to like. Real life when you're like a woman in a male dominated field or you're a person of color in a white dominated field or if you're both.
Right. It happens.
It does, like in this movie. But I think that's really similar to like how her experience went writing for The Office. So I'm excited to see that a little bit more portrayed because we get that sometimes in comedy things, but we don't get it like right where they're like, hi, I'm gonna sit myself here.
But that's also from 2005 though.
Do you think Writer's Room have gotten better?
I think based on what we're doing here with this podcast, I think not. We're two white women, so.
I don't mean us doing this podcast. I mean the trailer facts that we've learned over the past year.
No, it's true.
With a bajillion movie trailers.
It's gotten,
how many people of color have we seen?
Not that many. However, I do feel it's like kind of, at least there's like pockets though. It's not so much every single film or TV show has been, you know, white male dominated. There has been film that has been brought to the top that is different. There is a sort of variety in there. I mean, it's the beginning, but it's still, it's working its way in there, I feel like.
We're moving in a good direction, I think, sort of.
But obviously this is piggybacking off the whole controversial idea when I think it was like Stephen Colbert got like his like late night show, and it was just like, okay, there are thousands of different options that we could have chosen from, even though, you know, or James Corden, or, you know, I think that was the James Corden issue, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they were like, wow, another white guy doing late night television.
Shocking. So I think it's coming off of that, and I think it's maybe just a smidgen too late.
Right.
Yeah, because I feel like there now we've have all these like certain type of like medias where like Amazon, Netflix, Hulu, where there are these late night shows on these different platforms that are hosted by women, that are hosted by women of color of different religions, of different various like mixtures.
Right, which is all well and good, but
it's not on.
It's
like,
not prime time.
Right, exactly.
And it's not like prime networking, which I guess is like, okay,
we're getting there.
It's good and bad because it's like, okay, who's actually watching like regular TV channels, like the basic like
no ones. We have one person in our audience that does.
Anyway, that bringing me to the next point, under a certain age.
Okay. Yeah.
So I feel like they're skewed. Like playing. So it's like great that like women and people of color and stuff are getting these late night talk show host gigs on these different platforms because that's the platform of, and because that's the viewers that are going to watch that.
Right.
But I want people of color and women to start talking in spaces where they're not being heard so that other people are hearing them.
This is
like, so it's not like people that are choosing to listen to it will find it.
Right. It'd just be like on TV.
I want it to be in people's faces.
So right. And this is what I have an issue with, like the casting. Like, even though I love Emma Thompson is a goddess to our.
My favorite thing in the entire world is when she went to the Golden Globes and she got an award, and then she had her shoes in one hand and her
drunk?
Champagne was so drunk.
She was wasted.
And her champagne in the other hand, and she didn't have a hand to pick up her award, so she threw her shoes behind her and then got her award and then downed her glass of champagne, handed it to somebody, and then made a speech.
Amazing.
That's my favorite thing about Emma Thompson, everybody.
Her alcoholism?
No.
Okay. My issue with, like, with your point being that there should be more women of color in late night television spots.
Correct.
Emma Thompson is not a late night. She should have been, Mindy Kaling should have been Emma Thompson's place.
She should have done that role.
Right.
My theory is different.
Well, because I have a theory about
like
the film.
Keep going.
Okay. Because of the fact that what we're being presented by the trailer is that, I thought it was a very grand gesture. Like I'm
I liked it
like
a lot.
Like a timeshare.
I'm glad that I'm not on the opposite side of the table of you, like normal.
I know. It's amazing. Completely forgot what was going
to say.
What we're being shown by this trailer is that we are trying to have a woman of color push and raise a white woman for succeeding and not so much the
opposite.
Succeeding
herself.
Right. And what I think it should have been shown, this is my issue with the lack of, this is my issue with the lack of conflict in this trailer, is the fact that there's no turnaround, there's no switch where all of a sudden Mindy Kaling becomes like super successful. There's no like she's the writer and then all of a sudden she becomes the host, you know.
That's what my theory was just
oh my
be.
God, we are psychic. And is that, but they don't show, I feel like that's a
and
thing.
And I don't think that's gonna happen because the network's already like, we wanna get this white woman off the air. I don't think they're gonna be like, here's the person that's been writing the white woman's jokes. Take her instead. I don't think that's the direction that's
And I
going.
Think that's like my big issue with the lack of conflict is that we're not seeing the turn.
Okay.
We're not seeing where does this movie make it interesting. It reminds me of a film that was being brought about in the early, like the mid 2000s.
What film? Oh, no, I thought you were saying it reminds you of a specific film, and this, I was ready to not know it.
Because it has the same beats as, like, every, like, mid-2000s. Like, The Proposal, it reminds me of The Devil Wears Prada. It reminds me of, like, Something Blue or something, like, with Jonathan Krasinski. And, yeah, never mind. Thank you for the tepid applause. But it kind of reminds me of, like, one of those movies that you're going to watch 3 years later after it comes out on DVD in a onesie on a fall rainy day.
It's really setting the scene for
right,
me.
Right, I have to. It's world building. And so and so that's what it kind of reminds me of, because it doesn't remind me of something that
would happen in 2019.
Exactly. It just reminds me of something that, like, a director would be like, oh my god, there's a woman of color in the writing room. Okay, that's what it feels like.
So I had a different theory of how they could make this better.
Okay.
So I was like, it's so awful in one way because, like, like this trailer, because, like, the whole premise of this film is that, like, okay, this white woman is not being successful enough, so what we're going to tell her to do is be nicer to people, because women should be nicer to people, and that's how people will like you, and that's how we'll keep your show on the air, and that's stupid.
No,
and
yeah.
patriarchal, and I hate it. So my thought was, what if, instead of Emma Thompson being the host, if it was a guy, because they would, A, never tell him to be nicer. They wouldn't be like, oh, we'll keep your show on if you're nicer to your other writers and stuff in your room. No, that's stupid. So, if it was, like, a guy, and she was, like, kind of, like, but if he was recognizing that Mindy Kaling was going to be the person that could help him become more successful. Like, I don't like the idea of him being more successful, but I like the idea of a male figure acknowledging that a female person of color could be the person that helps a show be more successful.
Right, because
that's what I was thinking would make it a little bit better.
It kind of sets up for, like, conflict of the whole, like, women hate women type of thing.
Right.
Where it's like they have to pound heads to make something, like, go forward. And it's like, no, they really don't. But again, there's not even that sort of, like, conflict between, I mean, there is kind of, but it's not really shown that well, I guess.
Yeah, there's conflict, but I don't feel like it's going to be the whole time.
Because I feel like
they're not going to be. I feel like they're not going to be butting heads the whole time. But I don't know how much of that is going to be because Emma Thompson's like, I was told to be nicer, and then I'd be more successful. And how much of it is her actually going to be realizing that other people have maybe better ideas than she does?
Huh. I don't like this.
Really? Was there anything in the trailer you did like?
I like that Hugh Dancy is there. I really like him as an actor.
Okay, anything else at all?
The humor was good. I did enjoy the humor, what they showed. I'm afraid that they're doing the same thing with every single comedy trailer where they show all, like, the jokes and then, like, you're really, like, left with nothing. And so I'm a little tepid about that.
A little hesitant, if you will.
Tepid water, one would say. No one would say that.
I don't know. That's not a thing.
But yeah, I don't know. I feel like they were, like, waiting for this, like, big comedy, and they got this. There's something missing in the wheels.
And that's kind of why, after I watched it, and then at the end when it said, because, like, the way I found it was, like, everybody was talking about how it's going to be released on Netflix or Amazon? I think Amazon.
Well, it's an Amazon Studios, but the Big Sick, which is with Kumail Nanjiani, that was his film. That was an Amazon Studios film as well, and that was released independently.
Right, and this is going to go to theaters.
Yes.
But at first, when I was watching it, I was like, oh, this is just going to Amazon. Mm. And I was like, oh, this is going to Amazon.
No, it would make more sense if it went to Amazon because of the fact of the type of film it is, the notion of it being, like, super indie, but it's not. And that type of, like, feeling that you would
get.
They
were like, Mindy Kaling, who even knows her? And in reality, it's like, everybody.
Everyone knows Mindy Kaling. Personally, we're all friends with Mindy Kaling.
I wish I was.
Oh my god, we
She fun. Seems like a really cool person.
I would like to have, like, a beer with her. You know what I mean? Like, that feeling of, like, you're chill.
You can't
Let's
drink beer.
I know. Gluten-free beer.
I was just wondering if that's, like, a feeling you get a lot, because I'm like, but you can't.
I mean,
you want to get a drink with her?
Get a drink with her. Okay. Like, I feel like she'd be like that chill type of person. Like, you, like, walk down a street, like, accidentally bump into Mindy Kaling,
This as is, she's eating a slice of pizza, because this is where I'm envisioning it in my head.
And then be like, oh my god, I was, oh my god, you're Mindy Kaling. And she'd go, oh my god, you're Kelsey. And it'd be like, oh my god.
That's what went in my head when I was thinking about how I'd meet Mindy Kaling on the street.
Wait, it's a meet cute, but it, like...
No. Because, like, she didn't know who I was.
Oh, she'd be like, who the fuck are you?
She was like, I just dropped my pizza. And
you asshole, you dropped my pizza. I had to go back to the Sbarro. It's a New York film, you know. You have to bring in the Sbarro. Never mind. Okay.
It's okay. Okay, so do you have anything else you want to talk about for this trailer? I feel like you don't.
Actually, I kind of pretty much got it all out. Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
So, Kelsey, based on this trailer, would you like to see this film in theaters? Okay, your answer's no, I think.
I'd like to see it in theaters, but I would like to see it in theaters if it was released, like, 2 years ago. You know what I mean? Like, if it came out previously, like, I'd see it probably on Netflix. This is probably, like, a good Netflix film or Amazon film for, to see it, like, in bed. 20 minutes before, like, you're like, I'm gonna snuggle up, I'm gonna watch, like, the first 20 minutes of the movie.
And then fall asleep.
And then fall asleep. This is what the movie, like, it's being presented to me as. But if it was, like, because it's, like, it's a game changer, but it's not, so.
Right.
How about you?
Oh, I'm not gonna see it in theaters.
Okay.
Because I'm not gonna
watch it.
Pay that much money for it.
Oh, so Amazon.
So, yeah, Amazon. Okay. Maybe, like, at home, when I'm, like, I am bored. But I like Mindy Kaling.
Like a Saturday, if it was raining and you were in bed.
Yep.
Everything there.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, yeah.
That's it for that.
That's it for that. All right. Good talk. We're going to take a quick 5 second or so break, and then we'll be right back to talk about the Detective Pikachu trailer.
All right.
All right. All right.
All right.
Matthew McConaughey
no,
is here.
No.
All right, all right.
No.
All right.
Don't do it. Okay. So we're going to now talk about the...
Detective Pikachu. Okay. No.
Sorry.
Excuse
correct
me.
Yourself.
It is Pokemon introduced... Or does it Pokemon Presents or...
It's just Pokemon.
Okay. Pokemon.
Detective Pikachu.
Thank you. Okay. So this movie is coming out May 10th. It is... That is in...
It was originally scheduled for later.
Really? Did they move it up?
I think it was originally scheduled for June 7th also.
Oh, man. Did they were like, oh, shit, late night's coming out. We gotta move it up.
Yeah, I think that was their big fear. Yeah. I don't know if anything else big is coming out in June. Maybe if they were thinking it's too late, it'll be close to Spider-Man.
Oh, that's true. Cause
that's the only, like,
comparable
that
I can see, because
thing.
Spider-Man Far From Home is coming out in the middle of June, so that would make
it's
sense.
It's coming out in June or July.
Sure.
I don't know. That was a genuine question.
I don't know, but okay. We'll find out in a half an hour. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. So, Pokemon Detective Pikachu coming out in May.
Can we just say Detective Pikachu? DP. How about that?
No.
Oh.
Don't like it.
PDP.
Oh, please. What if we just call it Detective Pikachu?
Okay, that's fine with me. All right, okay. So we're going to do the behind-the-trailer facts for Detective Pikachu.
All right, so this film was directed by Rob Letterman.
A name.
I was like, are you related to...
Wait, Mark Letterman? Is that one of our peoples? Never mind.
Okay. David Letterman.
David Letterman?
David Letterman, who hosted a late-night TV show for about 125 years. He has directed films like...
Oscar-worthy films.
I was going to say the, like, knockoff versions of really good movies.
Oscar-worthy films.
Because he did Shark Tale, guys, which is, like, the knockoff bad version of Finding Nemo.
No.
After Finding Nemo got success, they were, like, underwater animated
films. We gotta
films.
Do the fish movie.
I got it. And then they made, like, Shark Tale and Shark Tale 2.
They did
and
Shark Tale 2?
I don't know
guys.
Why, but they did.
Guys.
And they did some other, like, sea... films.
They did, Monsters versus Aliens, though, is actually not horrible.
Did you see it?
I did. Of course I saw this.
To me, Monsters versus Aliens looked like it was going to be a bad version of another animated film. That was better than Monsters versus Aliens.
It was not horrible. I'll tell you that. I think Stephen Colbert is also in that one. He uses his voice to. Yeah, he speaks in the film.
He speaks.
Yeah, and then he's also done Gulliver's Travels and Goosebumps, which I understand.
Gulliver's Travels with Jack Black, which would be the only reason I would
also
watch
Goosebumps.
Yes,
Jack Black is heavily featured in this, much more than I thought he was going to be in this podcast. So.
He does skip.
But yeah. I thought it was interesting because he does a lot with CGI and people and like kind of mixed together. So I thought he was actually a good fit for the film. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I thought it would work with Detective Pikachu.
Okay. All right. Do you want to talk about the writers now?
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
Do you want me to do half?
I think I can okay. Power through this. All right. So we're going to talk about the writers. There are a lot because of the fact that this movie is based on the video game of the same name. We're having our Pokemon expert shake his head. So a lot of the writers are based on the original story
right.
by them.
Right.
So
the original.
The movie is written by Dan Hernandez, Benji Samet, Rob Letterman, the one and only, Derek Connolly, Satoshi Tajin, Nicole Perlman, Ken Sugimori, Junichi Masuda, Atsuko Nishida, Tomokazu Ohara, and Haruka Itsui. I am so sorry to those people.
So I did some like stuff of seeing what the other people that actually wrote this, not the characters of Pokemon in the original mm-hmm. story, but Dan Hernandez and Benji Samet have done a lot of stuff together. Pretty much everything they've done in their entire careers they've done together. So they both did stuff with One Day at a Time and a few other TV shows.
Is this a Rainbow Connection?
That's not it yet.
Oh my God.
Don't you worry, we'll get there. And Derek Connolly looked familiar from his picture.
Uh-huh.
He wrote Jurassic World 1 and 2. I know. Not that.
You know
not
what? I'll give him the credit for Jurassic World 1. That was.
But not Jurassic
not
World.
Not Jurassic
Fallen
Park, Kingdom. Yep.
And Nicole
Perlman?
Shut up. Nicole Perlman mm-hmm. Was a writer for Captain Marvel.
Oh, I think she. That's right. Yeah.
I was like, why do you look familiar?
Why does that name sound so familiar?
And Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh.
Two.
Okay.
The second one
we'll
was
have a discussion
good.
Later
it wasn't
about
that,
that
good, but it was still good.
Still
and
good.
She
okay.
was writing for them, so that's important.
All right. It is important. Who is the composer?
The composer is Henry Jackman.
Wait, do I know that name?
Because he also was on this podcast.
Okay, cool.
He did the music for Ralph Breaks the Internet, which we covered
yes.
A little bit ago. But he also, we might remember why we were excited about him. Because
was he a Marvel Cinematic Universe composer?
Yes, he
for
was. Captain America Civil War.
Okay.
But he's also done films like Kingsman. He did the new Jumanji, and he did some other recent action-y films.
Great. Works.
Great. Do you want to talk about the cast, Kelsey?
I do want to talk about the cast because I think one of the cast members you might like a lot. And it might not be the one you thought or think it is.
Nobody will.
No one's prepared for this. All right, so we have Ryan Reynolds, Suki Waterhouse, Catherine Newton, the one, the only, Bill Nighy. Bill Nighy.
He's my favorite person in the entire world.
As to why?
Because he's such a good speaker. This is not the first time we've talked.
You didn't say the word.
Okay, he's such a great orator. Does that make you feel better?
It makes me feel like we're doing like a presentation to a college class, so yes.
He's my favorite person because he's the kind of guy that does great voicing that just gets stuck in your head for 100 years, and it's so good because he just has the perfect voice, and we've talked about him like 7 times on this podcast. But he was in
Love Actually.
Yep. That's the one I don't usually mention. but he was in Pirates of the Caribbean. And he's in the Underworld series, but he's also in the movie Pride, and
that's
our Rainbow Connection.
That's a Rainbow Connection for today.
Because he plays a gay person in Pride.
Oh, really? Oh, uh-huh. Good for him.
It's really great. He was in there, and he said it, and I was like, I was like, okay, this is fine. Everything got better for me then.
From there, we weren't doing too good. We weren't traveling
well. Well, I didn't know what was happening, and then I saw him in that movie, I was like, yes.
Okay.
And then he said it, I was like,
Yes.
Everything was great. You can keep going now.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
We have Justice Smith, Rob Delaney,
Your favorite person. My
great role in Deadpool 2. Also, great comedian. We have Karen Soni, Rita Ora.
What?
Yeah, Rita Ora is in this film. Ken Watanabe, who we saw talking to Justice Smith in the trailer. We have Chris Greer, Omar Chaparro, Priyanka Burford, Ikku Atoni. Do you know who this person is? I'll give you a hint. Your hat.
Pika Pika.
She was the original voice. Her voice is used to for the Pikachu voice. As we are not auctioning, we're not auctioning this off, but no. We're modeling it today. And last but not least, we have Max Finchin.
Great.
Yeah.
That wasn't as difficult as you thought.
No, it was the writers that I was more scared about. And as we saw, I failed hard.
You did pretty well.
Okay.
You did better than we've done with some other films.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Black Panther.
Black Panther was rough.
Yeah.
Anyway, so let's jump right in.
Okay.
You have a lot of notes.
I have more than usual.
Okay.
So
what did you think of the animation?
I thought it was phenomenal.
I thought it was really good.
Because of the fact that we're dealing with something that's already fake, so we're not, like, we don't want it to be, like, super realistic. Like, we want to have, like, a small suspension of disbelief in the film, so we don't want to be like, oh my god, you're a weird rat mutated creature. I don't want
you
this.
You made it too realistic, yeah, and now I don't like it anymore. Like, if they made him, like, an actual-sized rat,
I would
puke.
Puke. Oh my god. So I'm happy they made him like cute and fuzzy.
And approachable,
especially with the voice of Ryan Reynolds.
So, which I wasn't sure how well that was going to work, but it's working for me.
Every time I see it, it works better. I mean, the video game, I guess people didn't really know that Pikachu actually like talks with like a very deep male Japanese voice.
What?
Yeah. And so it kind of, that's why everyone was like, I can't believe he's talking. And then it's like, oh no, it's like, this is what it's based off of.
Oh.
So that is why Pikachu is talking.
I'm learning so much.
Me too.
But I thought the animation was very similar to the animation they did for Christopher Robin.
Yes, it was like, again, the suspension of disbelief. Like,
yeah,
we
they
had
did
it.
A good job, but they also, I mean, I didn't really like how they were, how they looked in Christopher Robin.
Right.
Because they look
being
similar
to
they
toys.
Looked similar, yes. They looked like the real stuffed animals, which I was like, that's not working well with my, like, image that I have in my head for that, for Winnie the Pooh. But it's working really well for Pokemon because they're a lot closer to what the actual Pokemon look like, except cuddly.
Except I want to hug them and kiss them and bring them home.
Which is probably what this movie's against.
Right. It's actually... we're going to bring up animal domesticity again, like we did in How to Train Your Dragon 3.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But so this trailer starts off automatically, we're world building. So we're automatically being brought where people are like in this city, they have the Pokemons with them. They're like, hey buddy, you want a snack? I don't know. That's like not true. And but we're having this idea of world building, and we're having
you're like placed right in the middle of it. There's no like lead up. There's no like drama between like, do humans and Pokemon get along? It's just like, yes. Okay, they get along. This is the city.
And we're having this point of view from Justice Smith's character.
Correct.
Which I love.
How old do you think he's supposed to be?
15?
Because I was like, are you living alone in your house? Like, are you a 20-year-old? Are you a 16-year-old?
He could be literally like simultaneously 16 and 25, and I wouldn't be able to know.
Right. I wasn't sure because I was like, so you're going to... Because, like, in movies, like, doesn't really matter. You're going to go off on your whole little adventure by yourself, and parents aren't going to care about you,
well,
whatever.
Well, his dad is missing, so he's an orphan, I guess?
That doesn't mean he's an orphan.
Sure.
It doesn't necessarily have to
I mean,
be
true.
That.
That's true.
But then, so it's like, okay, does this matter because you care about your dad, and you're 25, and you live by yourself? Or does this matter because you're 16, and your dad's still supposed to be taking care of you?
The only thing, that I do think where he might be like a little older is because he goes back to his like childhood like room, and it's not like he's like going like, oh, I'm going to bed. It's like being like, oh, I'm sitting in this reflecting on my past very seriously.
A very serious moment in Detective Pikachu.
Right. And so I feel like he's probably going to be probably skewed older. Maybe like he went to college or something, and then they're like, oh, your dad's missing, you should come back home. Or it's like part of like a divorced family trope where he's like, oh, where his mom's like, go with your father. And like, me, Justice Smith's mom. And so he's like, go to your father. And then he like goes and he's like, oh shit.
My dad's missing.
It could be. Who knows? It's just a trailer. So.
I liked the introduction of Pikachu.
I thought it was phenomenal. I thought it was because it's like, oh, you're being thrown into this, so obviously we had thrown in the talking Pokemon. And now I do have a question for our resident Pokemon expert.
Hello.
hi. in the Pokemon games, can you like talk to your Pokemon? Like, can you interact with them other than saying, like, pika pika or whatever?
No.
No. Okay, so this is,
unless
like...
unless they are certain psychic types which have developed human speech for some reason.
Okay.
Which was portrayed in the first movie.
Okay.
But normally they cannot talk.
I was like, wow, he knows a lot.
So, if you couldn't hear, Pokemon cannot talk. I'm just trying to understand this. Unless they're, like, psychic types...
Yeah, certain ones.
Certain, which is, very few and far between.
Correct.
Okay, cool. All right.
Usually legendary, but that's a
This is basing on the original 150
Pokemon. I think that that's what the
because
only ones
Mewtwo
that are going to be in this film. What I would like is for this film to only have the original Pokemon and not the new ones, because I don't like them.
But it has more than the 150.
Yeah,
which
they're
confusing. I saw that in the trailer.
They're in the trailer. They do have like certain in the other trailers.
Whatever.
I should say. And like, I think it's like the second one. They have a few others, and then they have Mewtwo that's supposed to be in
here. But Mewtwo's like from the first movie, so he's pretty original.
Yes, I did.
So I would feel like fine if he was
in the
there,
poster,
but I would feel bad about
it. Mm-hmm. Sinnoh Generation 4.
Okay.
So they have kind of gone through the different generations. It seems might get confusing.
Great. I'm going to have to go to this movie with, like, a friggin'
with
encyclopedia.
With a handbook?
Yeah.
Like, literally with a Pokemon handbook?
It'll
be great.
So, when the Pokemon Company... I just want to talk about this really quickly. When the Pokemon Company, just, like, the logo came up, I was very, very much, like, enthralled about this. I'm going to be using this because the fact that when it was, like, done, 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 I was like, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to do this. Let's go. Let's fight some Pokemon. Let's do it. That was my
I'm so excited that you were out of your seat, but I also didn't know what to do. I was like, does that mean I have to get up, too? Okay.
Yeah, so I was very enthralled about this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, from
the
beginning?
It really helped
me. Yeah, we were in the movie theater, so we saw this trailer, and I was like...
It reminded me of Super Smash Bros.
I was going to say your childhood, but okay.
I mean, that's also my childhood. I remember, like, sitting by my brother watching, like, Super Smash, like, and then, like, the song would always, like, come on. I'm like, all right, I'm pumped. Let's do it. Let's go mess some people up with Pokemon types. This is why I'm not a promoter.
It's okay. Everything's great.
No, I thought it was a great way to kind of hype people up for this, to understand, like, what, like, we're like, oh, okay, ready to go.
I'm ready.
A la SpongeBob. I'm ready.
A direction I never thought we would go in this podcast.
No, there's some things I would never thought we would go to either.
I like their music choices for this.
Very good. Dum, bum, ba, na. As you all heard.
I was happy that that was a background song.
Yeah.
It's going to be very similar to, like, all the other throwback movies that we've talked about recently, mm-hmm. like Mary Poppins.
Nostalgia bombs
and
everything,
yeah,
as
and
we described before. And we're not going to describe to you guys again.
But
just joking.
Just kidding. I am going to describe it again.
Nostalgia bomb, as we kind of coined, is something that pushes everything into the front that you, like, were as a child. Like, in The Lion King.
It hits you right in the feels.
Right, you're like, oh, crap. And so it's a nostalgia bomb. Makes sense.
I hope there's going to be more humor. I'm wondering what, like, the, I don't know.
So we got like, we have a plot.
I'm wondering how much of this is going to be like, so this film is rated PG-13. So I'm like, how much are we going to do for kids in this film? Because all the kids are going to be like, la, 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 la.
Is Pikachu going to say the word fuck? That's what I want to know.
Kelsey's only question since this has even become a trailer was, oh my God, it's PG-13. That means they can say fuck one time. If it's Pikachu, I'm going to lose it.
I'm it's probably going to be because of like,
I don't think they're going to do it. They're not going to do it.
No. But what if they did, though? It'd be great.
Like, Ryan Reynolds is prepared to do that.
Oh, he's been prepared since Deadpool 1. That has even been a thought process, you know?
But I don't think... I think they might do it as a... Oh, my gosh, what if they did, like, a Marvel-style, like...
Well, like, with a Samuel Jackson, like, and be like, Mother of...
No, that's not what I was going to say at all.
It's one allowable F word.
I know. I thought they were going to... I was going to say maybe they'll do it at the end. They'll do, like, a post-credits scene, hoping all the children will leave, and then...
It will go around on Twitter being like, Detective Pikachu has a post-credits scene, stay there now!
Unless you brought your children.
And then go!
And then you leave. Because that's what I'm wondering, because I'm like, okay, you gave it a PG-13 rating, what is going to equate you to getting to this PG-13?
I literally think it's just because of, like, fantasy violence, which is a thing I've seen on the MPAA rating board, where it's
but
like
you can get like a, but you can get a PG rating for fantasy violence.
Unless like they say the word like hell and they're like, oh shit, and like the word hell, and so I think that's like
I don't know.
That's why like everyone's like, holy crap, they're gonna say the F word in this movie. Because PG-13 for a friggin' Pokemon movie is pretty like, it's pretty steep.
No, I know. That's why I'm wondering why we're gonna get to this rating.
So I think it's the same thing with Into the Spider-Verse we were talking about, how
that's rated PG.
Yes, but it's more marketed towards teenagers though, not children. So I think this is more gonna be like skewed towards like 11 to 15-year-olds, maybe.
I know, but so if Spider-Verse was like.
But there
marketed towards like the teenagers and like the middle school, high schoolish age group, mm-hmm. whatever. And then this, if this is supposed to be marketed towards younger than that, then why is it PG-13?
Right. That's why I don't think it's really supposed to be younger, because the younger kids don't know what Pokemon.
Yes, they
really
did. Pokemon had a resurgence like 3 years ago, and everybody knows Pokemon.
Yeah, everyone knows about Pokemon, but kids who are like 7 are not going to be like, oh, I love.
Yes, they are.
Okay, I don't know children then. Fine.
They are. But all like, of them are going to want to go to this. I'm just confused as to why we made this a PG-13 rated film.
That's because Pikachu's going to say the word fuck.
He's okay. In the post-credits scene. In a perfect world, he would say, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
We're going to disagree on that.
Okay.
So. All
right. Well, we're going to find out when we see this
When we see this movie. When it kind of goes like... You're saying, like, oh, Pokemon this, Pokemon that. You're like, oh, yeah, this is a murder mystery.
But kids are just going to be excited. I'm just going to be excited. I don't think I'm going to care very much about the plot. I'm just going to be like, I know that Pokemon. I remember you. This is so exciting. I'm so happy to see you.
Did you ever watch, like, the anime Pokemon?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know, like, when, like, the... when
Kelsey, like, if you recall... Last weekend when we were prepping for this, mm-hmm. I showed you my least my
That's right. Well, let's watch Ash's death scene again.
I was like, you know, really inspired my childhood. This scene,
this really depressing scene. I really hope in the middle of this film, like, I don't even care if it's like in the middle of a friggin' scene. I hope they cut to, who's this Pokemon? And children have to go, it's Jigglypuff. I hope it's in like the middle of the scene.
So, but what I'm really hoping for is us to be in the theaters together and no kids to answer because they don't know, but Kelsey to yell.
Can
out
it just be like a blob and be like, it's Snorlax? And people will be like, shut the hell up, you old.
They'll be like, you're wrong.
We'll be like sitting on like opposite ends of the theater and just talking to each other. Did you get that one, Marianne?
I don't think that'll happen, but it'll be somebody that's like a better person that has more knowledge about Pokemon than you do.
Right.
Who will yell at you for yelling out the wrong answer.
Right. It'll be like, excuse you, lady, shut up.
They're going to be like, you're wrong, stop talking.
And then they'll like swipe their phone up, be like, I caught a Snorlax next to you. because of Pokemon Go.
See, that's where the resurgence happens. This is why all the kids are running gonna go.
Yeah, but most of the people that have played it that I know of are in the 18 to 25 year old scale.
That's because that's
third grade is really into Pokemon.
Good to know.
See, look at this.
Pokemon every Friday.
Jesus, my theories are being dismantled
right before your eyes.
See, this is what I was worried about
with a live
doing a live show.
See, remember how we said we weren't going to heckle them? We said nothing about the opposite.
Oh, that's true. That's true. We should have put that at first. So screw you guys. I'm not kidding.
Do you have more to discuss?
I just really like seeing Bulbasaur, Jigglypuff.
I really like the scene with Mime because
the Mr. Mime scene was phenomenal.
That was funny.
They're telling me to shove it,
That's why I was like, okay, PG-13, I get it.
Okay, we're skewing more towards adult-like.
So that's why I was wondering if the main character is older or younger. Because if we're following him, he's like 20.
I mean, 20 would make sense because he's like, when you were a kid. And like, cause like, if
but
you
I feel
like
12,
people
do that to like 16-year-old.
That's like giving it a stretch. That's like calling like, well, because we call like 16-year-olds youths, even though we're like 25, but
because they are.
I mean, that's true. That's why it's so weird to be like, oh, when you were like a child to like a 16-year-old, it's like when you were younger, you would.
I know, but 16-year-olds, I feel like, are like, oh, when I was a child.
Wait, Ken Wontabi saying it to Justice Smith and not
no,
so
I know.
Much.
That was not That was not based on what we saw in that trailer. I was just
then
based
why
on...
Why would you make that assumption?
Because I make assumptions.
Yeah, that's very true. I just think that the understanding of the Pokemon genre and the Pokemon concept and games really melded well into a film. I think they did a really good job translating it into film, and I'm impressed to see it.
So does that mean you're going to see it in theaters?
I think I'm going to see
VOD,
it in theaters.
Not going to see it?
See it in theaters once, and then maybe, like, catch it again on, like, TNT or something.
In, like, 20 years.
In, like, 20 years.
And you'll be like,
oh my God.
Remember that film?
When we...
Okay, so here's the thing. So you're going to, like, I think what's going to happen is you're going to see it once.
Yeah.
And then it's either going to be like, oh my God, I have to go see that again, or you're going to be like...
Like I'm gonna have to make a deciding factor after I see the movie. Like as soon as like the lights come up in the theater, it's gonna be like, oh okay, we'll make a decision.
So my question for you
is,
if Pikachu does say fuck, are you gonna see it more than once in theaters?
Absolutely, because that's the joke I've been waiting for.
I know. I was just wondering. And then are you gonna? Okay, great. That's just what I wanted to know. I wanted to know what the deciding factor, like, where's the line between seeing it more than once?
If he doesn't, absolutely not.
I'm
no more money
the
towards
theater,
Pokemon.
Throwing my popcorn at the screen and
be like, "Fast this!" So, are you going to see this movie in theaters, Netflix, VOD?
I'm going to see this in theaters,
God.
The, like, hype.
Okay.
But
We'll see.
We'll see what
the reaction is. Yeah, so that's our conclusion of the trailer talk, guys. Thank you.
Do we want to do our sign-off stuff and then chat, or do we want to chat while it's
going? Let's chat first, and then we'll do our sign-off stuff after. How about we do the same question that we just asked ourselves?
That's what I was going to say.
Oh,
Kelsey,
my God, we're psychic.
I was going to say, start with late night. Is anybody going to see late night?
By a
theaters?
Round of applause.
All right.
I love Mendy. I love her.
You got right. You got a follower.
And now,
yeah.
And by a round of applause, based on the trailer you have just seen, would you see Detective Pikachu?
Emma's like, I have no childhood connection or need to see this.
All right, I think that's a pretty like almost evenly matched.
Yeah, nothing surprised me about what happened.
Yeah, everything is the same. So, do you? Want to do a little business?
Yeah, let's do a little
business. I don't know
why
I just said that like Chris Evans offering a salad.
How do you know what Chris Evans sounds like? Because
you sent me, I watched an interview and I said with Jeff about it. Anyway, that will be cut out.
Moving right along.
We're going to share our handles. You can follow us on every sort of social, almost every sort of social media.
I was like, don't guarantee that.
We're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram. All at Too Many Trailers. That's TWO Many Trailers.
And if you have thoughts that are longer than you want to put in a comment on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, then you should email us. And our email is TooManyTrailers@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. TWOManyTrailers@gmail.com. So you can listen to us on
iTunes, Anchor, Overcast.
Not Overwatch.
Not Overwatch. Could you imagine just like playing the game and being like us and being like, hey, welcome to Too Many Trailers.
Which would make your video game experience a little better, but you can listen to some movies. People would be like, get this off.
Like, please stop. So you can listen to us there. We post episodes every other Tuesday.
With bonus episodes as needed as on an emergency case basis.
Okay.
So you have a new...
I do have a new sign-off
for 2019.
I just want to thank you guys for coming. You literally did not have to come, but thank you for arriving here and enjoying and laughing with us or at us. Who knows? we will never know.
And Kelsey, I didn't go there, but I'm glad you did.
Not to know. what we like to say now in our new year, because this is our one-year anniversary of our little podcast, don't judge a movie by its trailer. Leave that up to us. Have a great rest of your... Thank you very much for that.
Kelsey really needed that support. And I'm so glad everybody was here for it.
Thank you so much for listening. Have a great rest of your day. We've been Too Many Trailers. Good night.
Good night!